Blog Talk Radio.
All right, it's Patriot Nation Radio Show Live. We got Roger Stone. Stick around, folks.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942. Thank you for listening to Patriot Nation Radio, 347-637-3942.
Attention conservatives. Big social media is targeting conservatives like you and me in an effort to silence us and the truth. The free speech social media that you have waited for is here at LibertyRush.com. No longer do you have to be distracted by fake news. Join the war on fake news at LibertyRush.com. The official alternative with no libtard rhetoric. Guaranteed. LibertyRush.com.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Dave Bray, America's favorite patriotic rocker, and you are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Network.
Yes, indeed.
There he is, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Roger Stone. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Delighted to be back with you.
Yes, sir. This is, I think, maybe your fourth time on the show, and I highly appreciate you coming on. It's been, like I said, an honor. Thank you.
Great to be here.
You have many fans across the Patriot Nation Radio Network, that's for sure. No doubt about that. And there's so much going on in this country right now. I don't even know where to start, Roger. Crying out loud. What is going on? I can't believe what we're witnessing. I never thought in my lifetime I would see anything about what I'm witnessing anywhere in this country as far as this current administration goes.
Oh, it's very clear that we have a two-tiered justice system. We have a different set of rules for the ruling global elite, for the liberal Democrats and their allies in the fake news media. But in a world in which President Donald Trump is being prosecuted on completely fabricated and absurd charges in New York City, where he's accused of making bookkeeping entries in 2017 to affect the 2016 election, it's not even possible. Meanwhile, members of the Biden family, including, I suspect, Joe himself, taking millions of dollars directly from China, Russia, Ukraine, Romania, and U.S. companies, not only not being prosecuted, but as we learned yesterday, being shielded at the IRS,
yeah,
being shielded at the Department of Justice from prosecution. You really have to wonder what's going on in this country. It is absolutely clear. You have these left-wing media nonprofits now are going to seek to bar President Trump from the ballot in certain states because they claim falsely that he took place in an insurrection in violation of the 14th Amendment. I mean, they are so petrified of Donald Trump. They are so afraid to face him in another election. They couldn't beat him the first time. They had to cheat him the second time. They're petrified about facing him again. That's the truth.
Amen. And if he runs, I do believe he's going to make it. I hope that our great governor stays out of the race, waits till 2028, sets himself up a little bit better, and just acts President Trump at this point. Otherwise, it's just going to cause division among the party.
Well, unfortunately, I don't think that's going to happen. First of all, Ron DeSantis doesn't decide anything. His wife decides, and she has decided to run. And, you know, the problem with Ron is he's not nearly as good as you may think he is. And he did not end the mask mandates here in Florida. They went on until 2022, long after he was telling people around the country. The seven largest counties in the state, the school boards in those counties told the governor to pound sand. The 3.6 million school children continued to be masked all the way into 2022. Ron did nothing about that. He could have fired those school board members, could have replaced them overnight, and he could have had the masks removed, but he did not do that. He may tell you that he is fighting against the indoctrination of our children in the public school curriculum, but I can tell you right here in Broward County, the sixth largest school district in the United States, the largest school district in the state of Florida, our children are being force-fed this Anti-Defamation League approved curriculum that is nothing more than white hate, that is the most base racism, anti-white racism you've ever seen. Where is Ron DeSantis? Oh, the election's over. So, you know, he's not Donald Trump. He's not even a pale imitation of Donald Trump. I mean, Mark, let me ask you, if we had a choice of hearing the Beatles or hearing the Beatles tribute band, which one would you want to hear?
Right. I've seen the Beatles tribute band, you know. You know what I mean? Absolutely. I agree 100%. You want the real thing. And I'm gearing up for a busy election season here. I'm sure there's going to be rallies across the state, across the country. And we know the charges against President Trump aren't going to stick. I mean, they already threw this out of court. The other agencies wouldn't even take these cases up. So it's kind of like ridiculous. I guess it's just to keep it in the news so that people say, well, he's in court and they're trying to charge him and he's a criminal. And, you know, I think it's all propaganda. It's all a farce. Where do we go from here with this prosecution if, you know, when they finally throw it out? What happens next? Are they going
to throw something else into the fan? Next up is the Fulton County, Georgia district attorney. She, once again, a recipient of huge campaign funds from George Soros. Anybody who will bother to read the entire transcript, and it's very long and very tedious, to be honest with you, but if you listen to the transcript of the entire conversation between Donald Trump and Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger, in which, by the way, there are six other lawyers on the line participating in the call, Trump does not tell him offhandedly, oh, go just find 11,870 ballots and I win. That's not what he said. What he said is, Brad, you have already counted more than 11,870 illegal ballots, 5,000 of them at least from convicted felons. Once you throw out those votes that were improperly counted to begin with, it gives me victory in the state. We don't even have to go into the accuracy of the machines. There's no crime there. There is no crime there. But this woman, Fannie Wills, who is the district attorney, she makes Alvin Bragg look like Albert Einstein. I don't know how she qualified to pass the bar examination. I really don't. But that's up
maybe,
next.
Maybe she passed the bar. She passed the bar and went into the hookah lounge, maybe.
I mean, all we know here is that I suspect you're going to have a one-off of what we've seen in New York. And then, of course, recognize that even if he were elected president, the president does not have the power to pardon himself for state crimes. So in a strange way, the New York and Georgia prosecutions may, in the long term, be, at least theoretically, more problematic. If the president is charged with some fabricated crime in connection with January 6th, which he might be, or in connection with his handling of top secret or classified documents, which he might be, again, I'm not saying that either one of those prosecutions are legitimate, but I don't know how they would get to trial prior to Election Day 2024 between pretrial motions and challenges. And a lot of constitutional issues here. You know, it is conceivable that Trump will be running for president as the nominee of the Republican Party while under either state or federal indictment. And what they, what his critics don't seem to understand is every time he is the target of one of these illicit, you know, lawfare attacks, he just grows stronger.
Yep.
More voters are woken up. More money comes in to fill his campaign coffers. So it is a much, much tougher task for Governor DeRino, pardon me, Governor DeSantis, to tackle Donald Trump now than it was 3 months ago. I hope he turns back. I don't think he's going to. I frankly think he's going to go ahead and run because that's what Jeb Bush and Paul Ryan are telling him he must do. And those are the people he really answers to. I mean, the money, and there's a huge amount of money. I mean, he's going to spend $300 million, but Jeb spent hundreds of millions of dollars, did no good whatsoever. Right. It's basically, mm-hmm. you know, essentially the same people.
Amen. Now, you got January 6th, you had mentioned briefly in talking, and what I'm curious about is there are so many people sitting in a jail cell in D.C. somewhere, some not even charged yet. Where are the people defending them who are having their constitutional rights violated simply by cruel and unusual punishment and being in jail without bail, with no charges? I mean, they violate the Fourth Amendment, Eighth Amendment, all their amendments. They're violating the heck out of it. What do we do for these people? How come nobody is fighting for them?
You know, look, the fake news media, particularly ABC News, and the January 6th Unselect Committee did everything humanly possible to try to give people the impression that I either knew about or was involved in or somehow condoned any illegal activity at the Capitol. I wasn't even there. Never left my hotel grounds on January 6th. Didn't go to the Ellipse to hear the president's speech, didn't march to the Capitol, wasn't at the Capitol, literally know nothing about it. But he met members of the Proud Boys or the Oath Keepers. Well, you know what that proves? That proves absolutely nothing whatsoever. It's called guilt by association is what that's called.
Right.
But I have been the subject of a witch hunt. I have been to a federal trial in which all my constitutional rights were violated. The judge in my case ruled that I could not use evidence of corruption by the special counsel or the FBI or the Justice Department or any member of Congress in my defense. Well, that's unconstitutional under Kyles v. Whitley. The judge denied my lawyers that section that was redacted of the Mueller final report in which he admitted that he had found, quote, no factual evidence, close quote, of Stone's involvement in Russian collusion, WikiLeaks collaboration, or any other illegal act. So this whole Fugazi trial was put in place to pressure me to testify falsely against Donald Trump. They wanted me to be Michael Cohen, and of course that's not me. I'm sorry, but I wasn't going to do that. So I know how those January 6th detainees feel about a broken process in which, at a minimum, I'm not a lawyer, but at a minimum, their due process rights appear to me to be being violated. And in many cases, some of them have already been incarcerated longer than the average sentence for the crime, for conviction of the crime in which they are charged. It's really quite extraordinary.
It's really shocking. And the only person that was actually killed was Ashley Babbitt. People seem to kind of gloss over her situation. Here at Patriot Nation Radio, we remember Ashley Babbitt, and we say her name because she was murdered. There's no reason for the guy to shoot that lady. And when you listen to these fake media...
But we saw the January 6th committee hearings, and they didn't show that video. They showed a bunch of fake videos, but they didn't show the video of Ashley Babbitt being murdered, and they didn't show the video of Roseanne Boylan, who's another unarmed woman menacing no one, who is murdered in cold blood. And they didn't question the police officers involved in those two murders. It's just a broken system. The January 6th hearings were a complete fraud. This woman, Cassidy Hutchison, I think it is, or Cassidy, anyway, testified that President Trump told his chief of staff, Mark Meadows, to call General Flynn and I on the night of the 5th to find out what was going to happen on the 6th. This woman perjured herself. There is no such conversation. I've never talked to Mark Meadows on the phone in my life. No text messages, no email messages. I think I met him once in the green room at Fox News back when he was a congressman. That would be the full extent of our communications. But she will not be prosecuted, Cassidy Hutchinson. She will not be prosecuted. That'll be ignored. It's just like I said earlier, one set of rules for them, a different set of rules for us.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I was watching January 6th, a show. I have a lot of people that send me all kinds of video links when things like that are going on. And I was watching, and someone was on the steps on the side, and there were two police officers at the door. And it was like the police officers were signaled, and they opened up the doors and let people in. And when the people walked in, there were a bunch of photographers on the other side of the door snapping pictures. And then when they went up the stairs, more photographers snapping pictures. It was obvious and evident at that point when I was watching that this was a complete setup.
I wanted to take Kevin McCarthy at his word when he said that he would make all of the January 6th video footage public. No disrespect to Tucker Carlson, who's been a friend of mine for 30 years. I think he's done an amazing job of exposing many of the major flaws in January 6th. But all of that data should be posted at a publicly available site where any journalist, any attorney for a January 6th detainee, or any American citizen can search the database and look at the video. That's really essentially what Speaker McCarthy promised us and so far has not delivered. I noticed that one January 6th detainee raised the question of the film in his defense, and that defense was rejected. On the other hand, I don't know that the film in question directly had bearing on his case. I only know what I read. But I think if people saw those videos, if they could see all of them, just the fraction we have seen raises questions about their entire narrative. If we could see all of them, I think their narrative would be completely and totally exposed.
To some, it's already exposed. We know how to look and read between the lines and see what the truth is. Because we look at things differently. We try to get the facts and preach the fact. And all along, I've been trying to bring truth to media lies with my radio show. And I learned in all my years, this is my 10th year doing this, Rod. Truth to liberal is like holy water to Satan or garlic practice. They can't stand the truth. They can't handle the truth. It's like every time I speak truth, I hear Jack Nicholson, you can't handle the truth. It's like, sometimes they go off the ramp. And what are they all like having these mental issues or something? It seems like there's a mental problem across the liberal side. And I'm not trying to make fun or be sarcastic. There is something wrong with a lot of these folks. Like they're erratic and delusional. And when you tell them the truth, they go into like spastic fits.
The sad problem is, as you know, is they're becoming increasingly violent. They're becoming increasingly dangerous. This public shaming, these violent attacks on people. I must tell you, because CNN elected to make me famous by showing the 29 FBI agents storming my home at 6 o'clock in the morning, instead of just calling my lawyer and saying, we're going to be charging your client. He needs to turn himself in. By the way, that cost the taxpayers $1.1 million. And as you know, totally coincidentally, CNN just happened to be 25 feet from the front door when this whole thing went down. Okay, that's
and they set up before the agents even got there.
That is correct. So it's very difficult for me to go out in public, a grocery store, a restaurant, a drugstore.
Right.
Or just walk down the street. I mean, yes, many, many, many people are very friendly. many people say, God bless you. We prayed for you. We prayed for you and your family. We prayed for you and your wife. What they did to you is disgraceful. But there's always that 3 in 10 who want to yell, you're a Russian traitor. No, I'm not. There's no evidence of that whatsoever. The government certainly didn't produce any at my trial. I had my own family members mowed down by Russian tanks in Budapest in 1956. I have no use for Vladimir Putin or the Russians. He's just as autocratic and just as anti-democratic as, Zelensky. This idea that we're fighting in Ukraine for democracy, no. He's outlawed all the other parties except for his. He arrested everybody who ran against him in the last election. He arrests journalists. He closes down newspapers, closes down radio stations, closes down TV stations. He's banned the Orthodox Church, the largest church in the country. There's nothing democratic or non-tyrannical about the corrupt government in Ukraine. So that's not what we're fighting about. What are we fighting about?
Where's all the money going? billions.
These recently leaked documents seem to indicate that $400 million has just vanished. It just vanished into thin air, into the pockets of Zelensky's cronies, I think.
So his pockets are, I guess, are thin air then. When people say it vanished into thin air, that would be Zelensky's pockets and bank accounts. We finally figured out what thin air is. Holy moly. And the amount of money that we're wasting on this bogus war between Russia and Ukraine. The only thing I could say to myself is all the people that I don't trust running our government are the people that don't like Putin, and that says something to me. I don't know.
Well, if these recent leaks are accurate, and I have reason to believe that they are based on everything I've read, first of all, there are American troops fighting on the ground in this war, which is a violation of the War Powers Act. There's $400 million at least missing that has been absorbed into the Ukrainian bureaucracy and the cronies of Mr. Zelensky. They're suffering 7-to-1 casualties when compared to the Russians, 7 Ukrainian casualties for every single Russian casualty. They don't have the manpower or the ammunition for a spring offensive. So the U.S.-based media narrative that the Ukrainians are kicking the daylights out of the Russians is simply not true. But the scariest thing is the revelation that Zelensky says that if he gets long-range missiles, which he's been badgering the Biden administration for, he's going to use them to strike Moscow. That is the beginning of World War III right there. They have walked us right up to the brink of World War III. I have no doubt whatsoever that the one person who could end this conflict, the one person who could get a negotiated settlement, is Donald Trump. He made a historic peace agreement in the Middle East. He brought the North Koreans to the table. He's the guy who cut off the Russian pipeline. He is the guy that gave the offensive missiles to the Ukrainians. So this idea that he's pro-Russian is entirely false. I think he could settle this very, very quickly. But all this really proves is that weakness really invites aggression. The retreat in Afghanistan was a signal to our adversaries around the globe that the Americans will not keep their word. They will not stand up. They will not fight for their allies. Trump has said this, that he told Putin directly, if you invade Ukraine, I'm going to hit Moscow. And he said, I don't know whether Putin believed me, but 10%, he thought there was a 10% chance I might be serious, and that was enough to keep the peace. The Chinese would not move on Taiwan if Trump were in the White House because they're too concerned about what he would do about it. They know that Joe Biden and his weak foreign policy, that he'll do nothing. He'll write a strong letter objecting is what he'll do.
One thing I'm glad to hear is that at least they're talking about up on Capitol Hill the bogus withdrawal from Afghanistan, $85 million or billion dollars worth of military equipment left behind, and thousands of Americans left to fend for themselves and see them all dead. The whole world seen it, and that is incredible. And how much technology were they able to reverse engineer, and now they have our capabilities, our equipment, our technology. It's so ridiculous that he's not impeached for that alone. That alone, to me, is aiding and abetting the enemy at a time of war, Brian Althaus. If this guy is running free, and President Trump is in trouble in New York, she's happy. It's publicity for her now. She's back in the news. That's about it. And it's unbelievable. So now we got countries like OPEC countries are cutting oil production. Here in America, we don't make or take any oil out of the ground anymore, hardly, because of the O'Biden administration. And he has raided the strategic reserves to lower gas 5 cents for 2 weeks, back however long ago that was. Gas prices are set here to spike, in my opinion. What's our recourse if they decide they're weak? They got no oil. They got no money. Everybody's turning on the American dollar. You got like Brazil, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, and China and Russia ditching the dollar. What do you think's going to happen economically here? Say, I have to say myself personally, it'd be like 6 months we're going to start feeling the pain. What do you think economically?
Well, I think we're going to see more bank failures. I think that we've just seen the beginning there. You know, if the world goes to the Chinese yuan for the standard currency for the then it's over for us as an economic power. But Joe Biden has done unthinkable. He has driven the Russians and the Chinese, who really distrust each other, who Nixon played off against each other brilliantly to get a strategic arms limitation agreement with the Russians. He's driven them into an alliance. They've hooked up with the Iranians, who, if they don't have a nuclear capability, will have one very soon. The Brazilians, the Saudis, who are our greatest allies, other than Israel, obviously, in the region, they're now gravitating towards this new alliance because they know, yep, America cannot be counted on. America cannot be trusted. So our allies really have to scratch their head and decide which camp they want to be in, because look what happened in Afghanistan. They don't want that happening to them. It is,
right.
America's never been in a more dangerous situation. But to answer your question more broadly, I think you're going to see even higher gas prices if gasoline can be found at all. Right now in South
right.
Florida, there is no gasoline. It's unbelievable. You're going to see growing food shortages. You're going to see even worse inflation. You're going to see crime continue to skyrocket. The fentanyl supply is undented, seems to be unlimited,
right,
killing Americans and fueling this spike in violent crime across the country. So, look, I think that the backdrop will be there for a Trump comeback. People recognize it. Just a few years ago, we had the strongest, most robust economy in our history.
Yeah.
We were respected and feared by our adversaries around the world. We had an unprecedented 4 years of peace. Trump brought troops home from the Middle East, but he used,
yep,
drone technology to keep the enemy pinned down while we were doing so. Biden did not do that. I think we may have the perfect storm for a Trump revival, but we need to have a free, fair, honest, transparent election. And whether that can happen, well, at this point, it remains to be seen.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to lean towards no chance there. The only chance that we have is 100 million votes. That's it. So many votes that it's impossible to defeat. The only way.
Well, that
you
may
know?
Who knows? That may be possible. I think with Jesus Christ, all things are possible.
Amen.
I think with God, all things are possible. Praying for victory is you know, maybe the strongest strategy available to us, although it's not the most complicated. But the country is being systematically destroyed from inside. People
yep.
have to recognize that open borders, that's their policy. This is not like some well-meaning liberal mistake. It's not an error. It's not a misjudgment. This is being done purposely to destabilize the country, to change the pace of the country. At the same time, in the academic world, in the public schools and in the university systems, we're systematically erasing our heritage, erasing our history, rewriting our history. We're at an extraordinary time of conflict. I think the Bible speaks to this very directly. So we're either, you know, in the time of sorrows, it's just before the end times, or maybe we're in the beginning of the end times. I don't know. I'm not a biblical scholar, but I am a Christian. And right. I renewed my faith. I have put my full faith in the Lord. Otherwise, I wouldn't even be here on your show right now. I'd either
Amen.
Be in prison, or more likely dead. Here's some news for you, though, Mark, and that is roughly a week ago, I got the second letter from Hunter Biden's lawyers threatening to sue me because I talk about the contents of his laptop, which is in the public domain, everything I read at the New York Post, but I talk about it in my daily show, which you can see every day at 5 o'clock Eastern at StoneZone.live, StoneZone.live. And I had Kerry Lake earlier this week, was a great, great show. I had Governor Rod Blagojevich recently, was another great show. I've had General Flynn, obviously. But on the show,
yep.
I have brought up the question of Hunter Biden's laptop and some of the I've focused more on the crimes of, you know, treason, money laundering, influence peddling, and so on.
Right.
I'm not all that interested in his personal conduct, as disgusting as some of that may be. If you want to see Hunter Biden's laptop, you can go to MarcoPoloUSA.org, which is a nonprofit organization which has done a great job of publishing and explaining all of it. They're suing Jared Ziegler, the head of that institution, as well, simply for publishing the truth. So I'm going to have to go back and fight yet again against the hard left that wants to silence me, wants to put me away. People can go to StoneDefenseFund.com, StoneDefenseFund.com. Hunter Biden has unlimited money for lawyers. Roger Stone and his wife do not. But I'm not going to apologize, and I'm not going to stop talking about what is in the public domain. I have every reason to believe that information.
What was that site again for the laptop?
It is MarcoPoloUSA.org. You got to check this out. It's incendiary. It's really very well done.
Right. And then Stone Zone.
And then, of course, StoneZone.live is where you see my daily show at 5 o'clock. On the internet every single day. So when you go to StoneZone.live, it gives you a number of options. You could watch it on Rumble. You could watch it on Twitter. You could watch it on Telegram. You could watch it on Twitch. You could watch it on
right.
Cozy.tv and so on.
Gotcha. Excellent. We're in some dark times right now. And, folks, you need to be informed at least a little bit to keep an eye on things. Who knows when it's going to hit the fan. It's going to hit the fan hard. I think we're going to get blindsided. I think people are going to be shocked. I think they're going to be, like, insane when they see what's coming. I think the U.S. dollar tanks. I think the digital currency is going to be forced upon us if the U.S. dollar collapses globally. So at least now we have some way to trade money around digitally. Who knows? It may all be part of this great reset we've all been hearing about for so long. Who knows? It's pretty scary stuff.
Well, the digital currency is problematic because, you might have money, or at least you entitled to it, but if they don't like your politics, you can't buy groceries. If they don't like your politics, you can't buy gasoline. If you don't like your politics, you can't take out a bank loan. So it is, you know, it's really evil, but that's clearly where they are headed. So if you have paper money, hold on to it, because it'll be like, you know, it'll be a conversation point. It'll be it'll be like a memento of the days when America was free.
You know, I can't even think like no dollar bills being exchanged. You know what that does? It hurts like the little guy who maybe has a side job, like he like maybe help the elderly and does house painting really cheap on the side to help the elderly not get ripped off and scammed. And, you know, or something like that, and little cash payments from grandma to help her out. But be a thing of the past, you know? Well, you're supposed to pay taxes anyway, but people do side jobs for cash all the time. So it's widespread in a tight economy. It's everywhere. I'd rather people be doing side jobs than selling fentanyl and meth. Yeah, but it seems they target the guys that are doing the side jobs, and they let the fentanyl and the meth heads run wild.
We clearly have a crime epidemic in the country. That's obvious. And the policies of, you know, put the onus on there's no sympathy for the victims. The sympathy is for the criminals. We're concerned about the criminals' rights rather than the rights of the victims. It's really backwards. And states like New York and now Illinois, Chicago specifically, have this turnstile justice where you can you know, you can be arraigned for a violent crime, and you're back out on the street within hours, so you can commit another violent crime.
Great. Here in our county, speaking of, like, victims, people who want to be, I guess, deemed victims of certain wokeness, let's say. Here in Hernando County recently, at Fox Chapel Middle School, we had a teacher. I'm not even going to say sexual orientation. This teacher, in front of witnesses, said, "Man, these kids, I'm going to shoot them. Sometimes I just want to shoot myself." Something, you know, this is what this teacher said. And somebody said something to the school, and they sent the guidance counselor in. The guidance counselor talked to the teacher not to be a threat, and sent the teacher back into the classroom. This was 4 days before the mass shooting in Tennessee. and then there was a cover-up by the sheriff's office and the school. And not only that, but they didn't have their information straight between the two agencies, the school board and the sheriff's department, and they were telling two different stories. I don't know if you've seen that, but that came out last week. Do they coddle a certain minority group over a majority group? Let's just say the LGBTQ community is like coddled over, say, rock and roll community, I don't know, who have millions.
I can't speak to that specific set of circumstances because I don't know anything about it. I have not followed it. I do think it is tragic that the shooting in Tennessee was in and out of the news so quickly. And the response of the Biden White House is to say, well, the trans community is under attack in America. What about the 6 Christians who were killed? 3 of them, children under 9. Just a horrific, horrific tragedy. In and out of the news in a day or two. Like it never happened.
Really, you know why? Extraordinary. So this wasn't a Proud Boy or a member of one of these other groups, you know, that might be out there that support President Trump. That's why. It was one of them, one of theirs that they're trying to protect in common. And I don't think that's right. I think it's horrible. Pretty unbelievable. But, you know, I guess that's where we're at right now, and if these folks want to have it like this, they're going to have it. Like I've said in the past, if they want communism, they're going to have it one day, and then they're going to wish they had the freedom. You know, it's apparent to me that the people in the administration today are definitely leaning towards a communist or Marxist idea of government, where the government owns and runs all businesses, controls all the money, and we are just serfs and servants to the man. How do we save our country from this, or is it too late?
Well, it's never too late. I still think that the only way, however, that we can win ultimately is by having, as you pointed out, an overwhelming majority of Americans voting in an election that is at least mostly fair. I think we're in a very dangerous period where I understand a lot of Americans are angry, a lot of Americans are upset, but you have to be very, very careful. If you decide to join some public protest, which you have a right to do, you have to keep it peaceful. You have to keep it legal. You have to keep it civil, because not everybody wearing a MAGA hat is really your friend.
Right.
And I do think that there could be an effort, once again, to goad good people into doing stupid things so that they can brand the entire movement as violent and lawless. And it can backfire on President Trump and his supporters. So this is very, very important in my opinion. In Donald Trump, you had the first president to fix the criminal justice system, which, right, by the way, is particularly our drug laws, are stacked against poor people, are stacked against people of color. That's just a fact. I mean, the war on drugs, as launched by Richard Nixon, focused on drug dealers, drug traffickers, drug kingpins. It is Senate Majority Judiciary Committee Chairman Joe Biden and President Bill Clinton who started to target the first-time nonviolent crime of possession of small amounts of drugs for personal use, and that has fallen disproportionately on people of color. So if you are caught with rock cocaine, the mandatory penalties are far more harsh than if you are caught with powdered cocaine. I do think that's designed to target people of color. The first president to do something about this is Donald Trump in the First Step Act, in the Second Chance Act. Many liberal and even minority members of Congress who have called for this for decades now vote against it simply because it was proposed by Donald Trump. This is one of the great tragedies. I really wish in the 2020 election Trump had talked about this more. Many people unaware of his record. I think it's one of his great achievements that people are largely unaware of. You raised some excellent questions. I wish I had all the answers. I've been in American politics for 44 years. I've worked for, 12 presidential campaigns, worked for four Republican presidents. I've still never seen anything quite like what the country is facing today.
It's pretty insane. We're right here pretty much at the end of the show. I want to thank you so much again for coming on the show. You're always a great guest, very informative, and always seem to know what you're talking about. So I'd love to have you on. Truth to liberals is like holy water to Satan. That's what I like to do. I like to wake people up and come on the show and know what they're talking about, tell the truth. And if folks want to see the truth, hear the truth, that's at www.stonezone.live, folks. Head on over there, check out Rod's show.
5 o'clock every day. 5 o'clock every day. If you want to read what I'm writing, if you want to see my videos, go to stonezone.com. Stonezone.com. You can go there anytime, day or night, where I publish, regularly. I'm having had this near death experience. My children, my grandchildren suggested to me, after my pardon, maybe it's time to hang it up. Maybe it's time to just quietly disappear. But I love the country too much to do that. And I'm going to continue to come back to shows like yours to tell the truth, to speak the truth, to fight for the truth. And I appreciate being back on with you, Mark. It's been great.
And what about the Defense Fund website?
Stone Defense Fund. If you want to strike back at Hunter Biden and his lawyers, and you want to help me in that fight, go to stonedefensefund.com. Stonedefensefund.com. You can make a contribution with your credit card, or there's an address there. If you don't like putting your financial information on the internet, and many people don't, you can go to there's an address there where you can mail a check. I had 65,000 people help me financially raise the money for a legal defense fund. It's very carefully regulated, by the way. These funds can only be used for that purpose. I'm going to have to do it again if Hunter Biden and his incredibly expensive lawyers want to come mess with me, and it appears that they do. I will have to count on the Patriot community once again. So, again, stonedefensefund.com. And God bless you if you can help out. Any little bit helps, 25, 50, 100. I don't have many $1,000 donors. I'm not Hunter Biden. But
right.
People can help by going to stonedefensefund.com.
And your daddy didn't get you a job at Burisma.
No, he most certainly did not.
Yeah. All right, Roger, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it. God bless you. God bless your family. And we'll pray for you in the fight against all these crazy attacks from the Biden administration and other leftists that want to see demise come your way.
God bless you, and many thanks for having me. I'll be back again. Have a great night.
Yes, sir. Good night. There you have it, folks. That's Mr. Roger Stone. Man, that was good, huh, folks? You want to hear other radio, we have it here at State Nation Radio Network, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, sometimes Thursdays and Fridays, www.blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Nation. You can check us out there. You go to the blog talk page, hit follow, and there's over 1,000 episodes. We got a conservative perspective, American Liberty, the American Allegiance show, and bringing truth. I'm tired, stumbling around here. I want to thank each and every one of you for coming on the show, this listening. It means a lot to get the truth out to you folks. I try real hard. Very important to me. It means a lot. Like I said, it's 10 years. July 10th is 10 years of Patriot Nation Radio. With that, I'm going to end our show the way we do so well every year. I mean, every episode for 10 years. The Star Spangled Banner by our good friend Dave Gray, DaveGrayUSA.com. You can get this version of this song by all your music flying places where you get tunes, iTunes, whatever. So check out DaveGrayUSA.com, and you can get this song. This is his version of the Star Spangled Banner, and we'll be back to wrap it up right after. This has been another episode of Patriot Nation Radio Network, Patriot Nation Radio Show Live. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, good night. God bless you. God bless America.